My first guest in this edition is longtime political analyst and strategist Carol Liebau, who is now based in California. She's also the author of the recently released book, Prude, How the Sex-Obsessed Culture is Damaging Girls and America, Too. We want to get her thoughts on how the presidential candidates, John McCain and Barack Obama, are showing their leadership skills during the current financial crisis with just 35 days to go before the election day. And we also want to get her thoughts on the upcoming vice presidential debate Thursday evening between Sarah Palin and Joe Biden. And Carol, it's always great to have you with us.
Well, thanks, Greg. Always great to be with you.
As you look over the past two or three weeks at how Barack Obama and how John McCain have handled this, on the one hand, you have John McCain, who came to Washington, rolled up his sleeves to get a deal done. But in the end, the deal that he worked on didn't get done. But then there's Barack Obama, who didn't really spend much time in Washington at all. So who looks more presidential?
Well, I'm, of course, a McCain supporter, but I have to say, even looking at it objectively, it strikes me that it's very hard to make the argument that Barack Obama has acted in anything but a political way in his own political self-interest through this whole thing. John McCain suspended his campaign after Harry Reid called on him to step up and express some leadership about this bill. He suspended his campaign. He went back to Washington. He worked with the House Republicans. When he got there, only four of them had signed on to the bill. By the time the bill went to the floor yesterday, there were something like 65. Today, of course, the New York Times reports that Barack Obama didn't talk to anyone who wasn't already in favor of the bill, didn't try and change any minds, didn't work with anyone who wasn't already signed on. And what's interesting is that Barack's core constituency, that is, the hard left in the House of Representatives, all voted against the bill, including the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, many of their members, including a lot of members of the Congressional Black Caucus, including Dennis Kucinich, including a lot of people who would be expected to give him a very favorable hearing if he had bothered to even try and work on behalf of passage of the bill. And I just hope, Greg, that Barack Obama isn't looking at this figuring that the longer that there is a crisis atmosphere, the more it helps his presidential chances, and has therefore made the calculation that the less he does to solve the problem, the better. Because if he's figuring that way, what he isn't keeping in mind is that there are a lot of innocent people who are being hurt every day as a result of his inaction and lack of leadership.
A couple more questions on the McCain front. Number one, does it hurt him that the bill that he championed not only lost, but is also is very unpopular, and at the same time, he's also urging now President Bush to kind of take executive branch action while the Congress tries to get its act together. How does that play, do you think?
Well, you know, in fairness to John McCain, he hasn't ever really been one to look at the political popularity of what he figures is right to do. That's why, of course, so many Republicans weren't exactly his first top supporters when he set out on this presidential race. He's been willing to set aside partisan opinion in order to do what he considers to be in the best interest of the country. And although I haven't always agreed with him, I've respected his willingness to do that, and it adds for me an element of trust in his leadership. Because after all, that's what you want, is a president who is really going to try and do what he believes is best for the country. And so I guess the question then comes down to, is it better to have made an effort to do the right thing, even if you fall short in the end, or better simply to have sat back and essentially voted present and said it's above your pay grade, in essence, as Barack Obama did?
And real quickly, over the next couple of debates and certainly the next 5 weeks, because this issue clearly isn't going away in that short of a period of time, what should voters continue to look for in these two candidates to determine which one not only has a better grasp on the economy, but just would be a better leader?
I mean, you have to look at what people do and not just what they say. And Barack Obama, you know, I know him. He's a very glib guy. He's very well-spoken. He goes and studies for 3 days, and he can do just fine in a debate. But if you look, when has he made the really tough choices? When has he really stepped out and put something at risk? When you look at his pattern of action, all you see is that Barack Obama pretty much does what's good for Barack Obama and doesn't worry much about the rest of it. And, you know, that can be a very troubling thing in a leader if you have someone who is simply looking as a top priority at his own political popularity as opposed to being willing to take on the tough issues that we need to confront and that we need leadership on as a country.
We're talking with Carol Liebau, longtime political analyst and strategist, now based in California. A couple minutes left in our conversation. And, of course, Thursday evening, Carol, is the vice presidential debate. There's only one of those, and it will obviously be between Sarah Palin and Joe Biden. Gwen Ifill of PBS is the moderator. Some Republicans are concerned about Palin because she's looked a little shaky in some of these one-on-one network interviews. Others say as long as they let Palin be Palin, she'll be fine. What's your advice to the governor?
Well, my advice to the governor is to realize what you're getting into. I wouldn't particularly expect any fairness from Gwen Ifill. She has her friends in the media that she needs to maintain her bona fides with, and she isn't going to do Palin any favors. What Governor Palin does need to be prepared for is a question or two from completely out of left field. Because if you notice in the foreign policy debate last Friday night, Barack Obama didn't make any big gaffes. That's because every question he got was something that you could study for, you could have prepared for. And the place where you see how bad his instincts are is when he gets something for which he's not prepared. For example, his initial reaction when Russia rolled into Georgia, and he said both sides need to exercise restraint in the wake of that invasion. His first instincts are uniformly bad, but after he has time to study and prepare what he wants to say to make it sound as good as it can, then he sounds a lot better. So what the press knows is that it's the first impression about the unexpected issues where people are going to make a gaffe or reveal their thinking. And although, of course, the press wouldn't have done that to Barack Obama last Friday on foreign policy, they'll feel free to do it to Governor Palin. And what Governor Palin needs to be prepared with is the argument that, in essence, this isn't Jeopardy, and you don't have to have every little fact about every little thing at your fingertips. What you do need is good judgment and a number of consistent principles. She needs to explain that to people, explain what she should do, and then I think she'll be very well equipped to make the argument that she is ready to lead.
Well, last 30 seconds here, Carol. How tough of a position is Joe Biden in? Some say he's got to really tone himself down so he doesn't look condescending or even belittling to Governor Palin. And, of course, he's known for being more than a little bit wordy. So what does he need to be mindful of?
Look, I think Republicans underestimate Joe Biden at their peril. He actually performed pretty well in all the presidential debates. I mean, frighteningly enough, from time to time, he actually sounded like the voice of reason. And the other thing, Greg, you have to realize is that unless he makes a huge gaffe that is just completely obvious to the entire listening audience or viewing audience, it's going to pretty well be minimized. I mean, the press just last week heard Joe Biden say that if Franklin, you know, back in 1929, Franklin Roosevelt went on television and talked to the American people as the Great Depression began. Obviously, there was no television in 1929, and Franklin Roosevelt was not even president until 1932. If Sarah Palin had made a gaffe like that, it would have been all over the newspapers as evidence that she was an idiot who was unequipped to lead. Joe Biden makes remarks like that actually fairly routinely, and they're allowed to pass unchallenged. So I think what the American people need to realize is that there are going to be, in the press, people who are grading these two candidates with very different scorecards.
Carol, unfortunately, that's the last word. Thanks so much, as always, for your time.
Always great to be with you, Greg.
Carol Liebau, longtime political analyst and strategist. Her new book is Prude. This is Dateline Washington.